5-8-104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
It's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. It's old Blue Eyes. Yeah. Frank Sinatra. This lead us off because on this date, 1995, was old Blue Eyes' last live performance. And Grant and I starved for winter entertainment, watched Name That Tune last night.
It kind of forced me to watch
Name That Tune. But this song was on there, so we thought we'd... we haven't opened with any Sinatra ever on the show. Mm-hmm. The 65 to 74 demographic is exploding right now with hearing this. By the way, we want to welcome all of those listeners is a bit of a misnomer, but we want to welcome the South Americans listening in Brazil.
The Brazilian listeners.
Let's go. I mean, we are now on let's see. Here's the This is the Brazilian national anthem, I'm told.
Yes, Piranha Brazil, that's our new followers.
Anyway, so a shout out to our friends in Brazil. We are on now 4 continents, is that correct? We've determined?
I think so, yeah.
So we need some Australian listeners. We need some Antarctic listeners.
Yeah,
well, and some that. African listeners. Other than that, we've got the rest of them covered. Mm-hmm. So truly, the 58104 continues to go international, which we're very excited about, getting the Brazilian audience on board. So I guess this means we're going to have to talk more football. Not going to happen?
No.
Okay, all right. Forget the football then. We'll stick to regular football.
Yeah.
On the show tonight, we will preview the upcoming weekend in the FCS. We will, of course, talk Summit League hoops, as it looks like there will be Summit League hoops this weekend. And we will also talk about the NBA All-Star Game. The reserves have been selected. So now we have the teams. We just need to know who's going to play for whom, I believe, is how they're going to do this now with Team Durant and Team LeBron. Is that
again,
the way we're doing it again?
Again.
Well, so it's Durant instead of Giannis this year, right?
Well, yeah, so, it's always the top two vote-getters.
Okay, so which LeBron will always be part of. So
yeah.
That's pretty much the way
it is. Because
it's
LeBron James.
All right, let's get to it. The weekend in college football. All right. So, we will, of course, as is the custom, start with the Bison.
Yay!
Number one NDSU, 16.5-point favorites at So-Ill.
16.5?
16.5 with the over-under.
That was a little high.
With the over-under of 44.5 against So-Ill. Ranked officially number 27 in your poll.
27, yeah.
Well, if you figure 20 top 25 and then the others receiving votes, they get to 27.
Yeah.
Again, Bison come in number 65 in the Sagarin, So-Ill at 150, which means the Bison on the computer are 21-point favorites in this game, as opposed to the 16.5 Vegas has given them. Developments from the week that we need to know. What was your favorite DJ Stewart moment? He gone.
Yeah, he gone. Who cares?
Moving on. What was your favorite Seth Wilson moment? Which of his two carries this year did you like the most? Because he gone.
Not like I'm injured now.
He gone. And that might be, Grant, a serious injury for the fall as well.
I mean, is he going to be like a junior forever? I mean, it's just...
Yeah, because this year won't count.
I mean, the man's just going to stay on the roster on injured reserve for
many
weeks?
Literally, by the time the guy graduates from college...
He'll be 30
years old. He'll be like 26 at least.
Yeah.
I think the stable of running backs, I refuse to say R-O-O-M of running backs, but the stable.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be Kobe. It's going to be the Kobe show. I would imagine it'll be Kobe. We'll see Jalen Bussey. We'll see Dominic Giannella. Ganella. What did I say? Giarella?
Yeah. This is like up on my pasta or something.
The athletic Dom, as Izzo calls him.
Yeah.
Dominic.
TK Marshall.
TK Marshall sounds like some guy who would like host a game show. And here's your host, TK Marshall.
No, not really. Okay. No, I wouldn't. You're stretching that one.
Okay. Well, I tried.
No.
Yeah. And then who's the other back? We're missing some. Oh, and of course Hunter Luebke.
He's a fullback though.
Well, but he's gonna carry.
He's not a running back, he's a fullback.
He'll be a mail carrier.
He's a fullback.
Doesn't matter what
he's a fullback. Can you play running back? Yes, but he's a fullback.
Well, that's still considered a running back.
He's a fullback.
So, in your opinion, does the running game fall off at all?
No. No. Not
Could you care to be more specific about
no,
that?
No, I just go back, I'm thinking, well, you still have three guys you know you trust to carry the ball. Just three? I mean, the Bison always have three guys. They have always that rotate that carry the ball mostly.
It's more than three. Nate Goldad is the other one, by the way, the Cheyenne kid.
Right, but like, there's always, when NDC runs the ball, it is your rotation of two to three guys they usually lean on. They still have three guys they like that they can lean on. And you have two other guys as your supporting cast of backs. So are they thin at running back? Not really. They're going to bring four to Southern Illinois. I mean, they're running out of running backs? No, they're not. They still got a good four or five guys that they like they can still use.
They've got more injuries than we've been talking about because Sproles is out and presumably he's not going to play for, I don't know if we're going to see him this spring. You've had the running back, you know, injury with Wilson. And I think this is a prove-it game for Christian Watson. I think this game is a prove-it game because I think last week I get the distinct impression that he wasn't open. Now, whether Youngstown's secondary had something to do with that is good is interesting, but I'm a little. This is a prove it game for me. He needs to and for Zeb. This is a game that they theoretically now should beat, and should beat sizably. But I just a little tingling in the back of my neck that says we might see a game that's very similar to what we just saw this week.
I have the same thing that you just said. It's just Zeb's got to let it go. Let it go. This ain't Trey who's very cautious with the ball. Zeb's guy wants to go fired in there kind of guy. And I kind of want to see that out of a Bison quarterback. Let it fly. I don't care. If you get picks, who cares? You got to go one of the best defenses in the country to back you up. It's just Zeb's got to let it go. Get it out to Chris. Wow. That's really not.
Is that what you wanted to do?
No. Not that let it go.
You want him to let it go, right?
Get it down to the Christian Watson, alright?
This is what you want him to do? I don't think we want Zeb to be the good girl or we want him to be.
I'm going to be a badass instead.
This is what we want Zeb to do. Throw it, Zeb. Don't hold back, Zeb. Throw the ball. I think we just found a bit for the rest of the year now. You just, whenever you want Zeb to play, it's just going to be let it go. All right.
Yeah, but you got to get the ball to Christian Watson. I mean, get the ball into his hands as many times as you can during a game. At some point, you throw a jump ball to him.
Throw a 50-50 ball out there? Sorry, I had to go back to the other music.
I mean, the one time I threw a deep to him, pass interference was called. I mean, he's got the size and speed to get by everybody else. Get it to him.
Offensively, it remains a mystery to me where the Bison are going to throw the ball.
Apparently, Jake Lippe is the answer.
Apparently, Jake Lippe is one of the answers, yes. I'm curious to see if with Luebke back at full strength, I think he'll be a bigger part of the offense. I think they might. We might see page 3 or 4 of the playbook, I think, instead of the first two pages.
Yeah, I want to see, does Zeb throw all kinds of passes in this game to prove that not only can we be a top rushing offense, we're still a pretty damn good passing offense, even without Sproles. We still got Watson, Lippe, Cole Jacob, Braylon Henderson. You still got guys you can rely on, and just let it just pass it.
Let it fly?
Yeah.
Let it go?
I'm trying not to say that. Okay, all right, I'm really trying not to.
That's, you're going to regret saying that.
Yeah, later. I will.
Yeah, you'll regret that for the rest of the football season mm-hmm. every time that comes up. Curious to see the Bison defense against this Southern Illinois offense that last year didn't really do much damage.
Doesn't do much this year,
either. Other than the first, you know, the first real national outcome of Javon Williams Jr. against the top, you know, team last year. And while he looked good,
the team did not.
They, it's very apparent how much Jeremy Chinn carried that defense last year.
Mm-hmm.
And without it, I think they made, you know, took a step back just a bit. Now, in the game last year, this was where the Bison took the big plays and really ended the game for all practical purposes early in the fourth quarter. It was the big hitter to Kobe for 44, all right? And then Trey Lance with the run at the start of the fourth quarter. That was a 34-yard touchdown, and that was ball game. This was a big game last year for Jimmy Capuris, so that's the other reason I think they're going to need to throw the ball a little bit. He had 6 catches for 80 yards. Kobe had 8 carries for 85 and a touchdown. And remember that the Bison also had a big goal line stand late in the mm-hmm. game last year. So Williams, who had 117 yards last year, I think he's the guy you just key on and say, good luck. You want to beat us? Go ahead.
UND did.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, you go back to that goal line stand. I think they got a 4th and goal from the 2, I want to say. And they run a quarterback power with Williams. He gets stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Since I think he's a good runner, don't get me wrong, but when the defense keys in on him, he's not very effective. But he shouldn't be effective when all 11 guys are keying in on him like that. UND showed that they could bottle up anybody like that, and pretty sure if UND can do that, the Bison sure can.
Pretty sure that Nick Baker is likely to be the starter. Baker,
the interception maker?
Nick Baker, the interception maker. He had 153 yards and 2 picks last week. I don't know if Cray Lyles is going to play. The rib injury.
Does it really matter if he does? I mean,
no, maybe not. But he was 12 of 14, so at least he has nothing if efficient. But they only ran the ball, they ran the ball very poorly in the game.
90 total yards.
Right. And Cox, who was the big play threat at receiver, Avante Cox, had 7 catches for 107 yards. But honestly, in this game, Southern Illinois did all their damage on the first drive, and that was about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did score one other time, but oof. If that's how they're going to show up, I don't think the Bison are going to have a lot of trouble. But I just have a feeling we're going to see like this 28 or 31-7 type of win again.
Yeah.
And it may be over earlier than the Bison, than the UND game. I just don't see Southern having a lot of pop to come down the field on.
No, but like Nick Kelsey said, we're trying to get back into playing shape. Well,
you can't get back into playing shape if you were never there.
Yeah, and also, you got your ass kicked by a UND team that you're not that... I don't think UND is that good, but you made them look like they were the 2013 Bison. I mean, they just dominated. But also, getting back into playing shape doesn't mean, let's go play the number one ranked team at home this week. I mean, it's just like, that's just unacceptable. And by the way, you gave up 229 total yards on the ground to UND. Do you think the Bison can get more than 229? Probably on the ground.
I'll take the over on that.
Yeah, because what the Bison rushed for last week is at 275 yards.
Yeah,
or something.
A little less than that, but close enough.
But it was just like, the Bison quietly always rush for 250 yards a game, it seems like. It's like, oh, they had rushed for that
much. I think
they
almost got almost to the exact right number. I think it was like 240 something.
Yeah, it was like, they just quietly rack up a 250-yard rushing day. It's like, really? They got that much yards on the ground? But, I mean, so Illinois for them, it's going to be hard for them to stop the run. And when you key in on the run, that's where Zeb's going to get his passing game going.
And I know Otis Wee was... I know he played a heck of a game last week, so I give him credit for that.
Yeah, and they had 91 yards and a touchdown.
And he was able to make some guys miss. But let's be honest, Southern Illinois didn't tackle worth a shit.
That's true.
And I don't think that they're going to be able to get away with the
piss poor tackling,
sloppy job of tackling that they did in that ball game either. I think the biggest key here for the Bison is just to stay ahead. And I don't think Southern Illinois is the type of team that when you get them down,
they ain't coming back.
They're not coming back on you by throwing the football. So as long as you get ahead early and you stay ahead, I don't see there's much chance in them coming from behind.
No.
At least that's just my take anyway.
No, I'm same with you.
The Bison last week rushed for 243 is the number and gave up 51. Granted, Youngstown's running game was the equivalent of slamming your head against a brick wall repeatedly and see if it breaks.
Which it didn't.
And it didn't. So that was pretty easy to figure out. Southern Illinois, honestly, I don't know if it's much more capable of throwing the ball in any respect. They do have a better receiver in Cox, but if I look at this game, it just screams 31-7 to me for some. The weather's going to be beautiful, by the way. It's going to be like 60 degrees in Carbondale.
Wow.
And the Bison, I think, will come out ready. I think there'll be a little bit of offensive attitude. I'm sure they don't like hearing that,
change the offense.
60 yards and,
change the offense. This offense is terrible.
Now we're playing Disney songs to motivate our quarterback, apparently, on our show.
I mean, we could go blare it to his room, man. He lives down the street from us.
Right, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I'm going to take the Bison, I'm going to take a minus of 16.5 if I was a betting man.
Yeah.
And over under 44.5, boy, I think that's going to be close. I think the Bison are going to put 30 on them. I just don't know how much Southern Illinois will get. I have a tough time believing they'll score more than 10, so I'd probably bet the under here.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my official prediction is Bison 16.5, minus 16.5 and the under.
Took the words out of my mouth. Okay. I think they'll win like 31-35-7, something like that.
Biggest thing you're watching for then is Zeb?
The passing game. Okay. The running game will be fine. Plus Luke Key in the back, he adds so many different things to that Bison offense. And then you get him incorporated into the passing game, Zeb should have a pretty good day.
All right. Let's go around the valley here as we've got
go around the horn.
A couple big things here that we want to talk about with the valley schedule this week. And we'll save the game of the day for last, which involves the opponents in the north. But let's talk about last week's vanquished foe, Youngstown State, who brings in an angry UNI team. Now, UNI is also the other advantage, and this probably can't be overlooked, is that UNI played Friday night while Youngstown played on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an insignificant factor in this game. We should note the Bison, of course, are playing on a short week, but Youngstown, not only did they get their ass handed to them on Sunday, now they got to turn around and play a team that is NDSU light and is probably pretty pissed off.
They're pissed.
Youngstown is a 6.5-point dog.
Only a 6.5-point
dog? Only 6.5. Sagarin would tell you it's 10. There ain't no UNI minus 6.5. There's no way I'm not betting.
Yeah, I'm taking that.
and I think UNI is going to win. But what do you expect to see out of UNI, Grant, in this game?
I really expect to see the rushing attack going again. And just going into that Youngstown defense, who had its moments. I mean, the guy in the middle.
They're not terrible.
No, number zero in the middle, 325 of them. I mean, yeah, he's a big run stuffer. But UNI, is Weston going to play?
Not heard.
If he doesn't play, then it's gonna be
you're still not picking Youngstown. Whether
oh God or no not. No. But then McElwain's got to find somewhere to throw the football. I just don't know if we can find.
Yeah, they were down several receivers at the end of that game.
Yeah, so it's just I have faith in their rushing attack. It's the passing game because I don't think McElwain's that spectacular of a quarterback, but. I mean, using his legs is going to help him, but I mean, I think UNI wins. I think it'll be a closer game than people think, though, because I think the Youngstown's still trying to find itself, and they might.
The problem is, I don't see Youngstown scoring more than like 14.
Neither team's going to score that many points, though.
Yeah,
I think it's a 24-14 kind of game that goes to UNI. I mean, it's going to be a really odd game.
Odd is a good word for it. I think UNI's only hope, or excuse me, Youngstown's only hope against UNI. Is to get an early score.
And it's at the Ice Castle.
So. Well, there'll be nobody at the Ice Castle anyway. So
oh, really?
Well, I mean, honestly, they're not. I don't know how many fans are allowed.
I mean, it is Youngstown. No one shows up to their games anyways. But
right. And that's the other thing. I don't think there's much home field advantage for a team like Youngstown. I think UNI wins comfortably, but like a 27-14 kind of comfort
level. I said 24-14. So
yeah, you know. Nothing major here. I think that's going to be a big issue. Mm-hmm. So we're both on UNL. There was no over-under given in this game. The other ranked team playing outside of the premier game, Illinois State will open their season now.
Finally.
Hosting South Dakota. Intriguing game because we really don't know what is coming back on the U.S. or on the Illinois State side with Brady Jefferson at the helm.
You mean Brady Davis?
Brady Davis.
You put two quarterbacks together. Seriously, it's Bryce Jefferson.
Amalgamation of quarterbacks here with Bryce coming back.
Bryce Jefferson.
Yeah, is he Brady Davis.
Is he the quarterback?
Yes.
Okay.
Has
he been able to throw a forward pass over the offseason?
I do believe over the offseason there was some actual passes thrown over the line of scrimmage, which is good. Can't believe I combined both quarterbacks' names. Jeez, I'm reading too much.
Why did you do that?
I don't know. I had for some reason I had him on the brain. I don't know why.
Yep.
Regardless, USD is probably going to start a freshman quarterback, That's the only reason. Illinois State is a 6-point favorite. Sagarin says they're a 5-point favorite. Over under is 48.5. Who knows?
Yeah.
I honestly think though, and I picked Illinois State when I went through the preseason and did this. I wouldn't totally be shocked if USD wins.
I wouldn't be either because I don't know what USD is going to be. I think it'd be
they're going to be Kai Henry.
I think it'd be the aerial circus. So they're going
to they're going to be Kai Henry.
Yeah, hand it to Kai Henry. What's USD going to be like? There's no James Robinson to carry you anymore.
I don't know what to expect from Illinois State at all. At least I know South Dakota's going to run the ball. I'm pretty sure Illinois State's going to run the ball because, frankly, they don't have much of an offense outside of that.
So.
I'm going to pick Illinois State minus the 6, but...
By 6.
It wouldn't shock me if this was a one-score game either way.
Yeah, I would pick...
And I'm taking the under, because I don't think either of these teams...
Yeah, Illinois State and the under would be my pick. I mean, freshman quarterback, first game for USD. I don't know what these teams are going to be like, but the gut tells me Illinois State.
So. Right. This game will be
on Midco Sports Network.
That wasn't what I was going for, but I was going for this is going to be the wooden spoon game in the league. Is Missouri State 5.5-point favorites over Western Illinois?
Oh God!
Neither of these teams played last week
at the Macomb Country Club.
Yeah, at the Macomb Country Club. Make your reservations now for the COVID-infested Macomb area. God, these teams are horrible.
Yeah.
Only because Missouri State, I think, probably just has a little more talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that term loosely when we're talking about Missouri State.
Welcome to the Valley, Bobby.
Man, when do you know how hard Bobby Petrino is going to laugh when he has to walk onto the field at Macomb, which is basically a high school stadium? I mean, all you're missing are the school buses and the shitters in the corner, and that's the Macomb. Is Macomb the one where you have to walk, like, you know, you have to run a marathon to get to the field?
It's 200 yards away from the
line. Yeah, yeah, you have to hitchhike to get there. Like, hey, going my way? And they had Bichon and Timmerman out, like, doing the game from,
like... It was like some wood plank.
Like some converted popcorn stand that's out there. And I'm like, holy shit, this is Division I football. We got the guys doing the game out there and... sitting on some,
they're in the stands with like some bench in between them, so they can put their stuff down.
Well, it looks like somebody's shop project that they're doing the game from.
The shop project.
No offense to the shop teachers of America, but I literally think some KVLY engineer probably had to like go back to his 11th grade high school shop days and build a little, you know, studio up there for those guys.
Might as well cabinet or something.
And it's like 45 degrees and cold.
Freezing their asses
Seriously.
Off.
Seriously.
It's probably like some like cabinet that some shop guy made and they had to break it down.
Well, but it was probably like some discarded door somebody got rid of that they didn't want to use. Actually, no, it probably is leftover material from the Macomb Country Club renovation is what it was. God, I hate that place. Anyway.
Macomb is just really just...
Macomb, the armpit of the valley, ladies and gentlemen. In any case, I think Missouri State wins. I'll take Missouri State minus the 5.5 to get their first win of the year. And it might be their last win of the year.
Like, also, there's like this big tracker on the field, too. Like, or high
school. That's Missouri's. Is that the Macomb Country Club has the tracker? Oh, you can always tell the really quality football fields with the big track.
Yeah, Sacramento State's got
one. When we used
State's
to go up to UND, we used to hate that thing, Memorial Stadium had the big track around it. God, it's just a shithole. Anyway.
I mean, where are the locker rooms at? So, like, you can't find them anywhere.
Where are the locker rooms? I can't find the locker rooms. Anyway. Let's go to the game of the week in the Valley. No offense.
This game on Midco Sports Network.
Number 3, South Dakota State. By the way, Illinois State ranked number 7. And you 7? And I, 5.
That's being generous.
Number 3 ranked South Dakota State, 1-0. At the Alaris to play the Fighting Squawks. South Dakota State, -7 to win. 47.5 over under. Sagarin says they'll win by 10. This is UND's year, right here. Honestly, if they're going to be taken seriously as a playoff contender,
beat the Rabbits.
They need to win this game. Because if they do, then that's going to make for a hell of an interesting week coming up. Because then what happens is they have a short week to play, turn around and play USD. Because they play on a Thursday night. So if they can get the South Dakota sweep, see what I did there?
Ah.
See, if they can get the South Dakota sweep, UND's a legitimate playoff contender. Mm. If they win both these games. If they beat SDSU, they are a legitimate playoff contender.
You still got to come back to Fargo.
Yes, but they still haven't lost at that point.
True.
At this point.
That's true.
The key here is when you get loss number 3. Okay?
I thought I said 2 was the
one. Well, you can lose 2 and get in, but you lose 3, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you lose 2... And lose 2 and beat SU is your key. You need to beat 1 of the SU schools, being NDSU or ND or SDSU.
It'll probably be the Jacks, more than the Black.
I think that's your mantra in the Valley. Lose 2 and beat SU.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that. I think if you lose 2 and beat one of the SUs, you're going to make the playoffs. If you lose 3, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Too many losses.
I feel like UND, if they beat South Dakota State, they would lose some weird game to like USD or something. They might lose to USD or they get beat by Southern Illinois. Well, they're to beat Southern Illinois, but like
they won't get beat by Southern Illinois.
Or like Missouri State, they'll get beat by Missouri State or something like that. God. I just feel like they would have like some bad loss.
Some weird loss you can't explain.
Yeah, there's some really weird loss. Like Tommy Schuster throws like 4 interceptions.
Tommy Schuster, please refer to him by his brother. Tommy Schuster.
Throw like 4 interceptions and he'll just be terrible.
But. Yeah. Well, I'm on South Dakota State. I think Gronowski played a really nice game.
He is okay.
Beat the number 4. Grant, what do you want him to do? He beat the number 5 team in the country on the road in his first start.
Yeah. Traded better.
See. Yeah, Trey's first one was against Pioneer League bitch Butler. I mean, honestly, let's be honest.
He only went to the Dyke House and won.
Dyke House.
All right. He only won a national championship.
It was the Dick House, by the way.
Anyway. Yeah.
Moving on. Who do you like in this one, Grant? Do you think UND's got the power to hang with
Hell
to beat
him? To the no.
Okay. All on South Dakota State.
Oh
here?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate both schools.
-7. Over under 47.5. I'm taking the under, and I'm taking
the over.
They're not going to score 48 in this game, are they?
It's combined, yeah, they will.
No, I think South Dakota State wins this one about, I'd say about 30-10, roughly. Maybe 30-13.
I'd say like a 30-24 kind of game.
You think UND is going to score 24 on them?
If they want to be serious in the Valley, then beat them. So they're going to try.
I don't think they're going to score. I think UND is going to have a tough time scoring 24, but we'll see. But that's the big game in the Valley from a seeding standpoint. Let's go to the national picture. We'll go through the top 25 and got a couple of ranked opponent matchups in here. The CAA does not play, for the most part, conference play yet. So
horrible.
Villanova, Albany, New Hampshire, Delaware, they're all off still this week. Monmouth is off. But JMU, in their second non-conference tilt, takes on our good friends from Bob Morris. This one won't be close. JMU is a 38.5-point favorite.
Schedule.
Bob Morris has not played yet. JMU with a win over Phil Simms University last week in Morehead State. This game won't be competitive, Grant.
Nope, it won't.
38.5 points is too much. Weber State grills up their first game of the year with a tilt with Idaho State. Weber at number 4 in the rankings. They are favored by 17. That's about what Sagarin says. I don't see the Idaho State giving them much of a game here.
Mm-hmm. I don't either.
My favorite matchup of the week is number 8, Kenneth Hall. Kennesaw State going up against Gulf South Conference representative and Division II. The school's name is Shorter. Presumably next week they'll play their sister longer. School, Taller. Or Longer.
I'm a Nova.
Honestly, Shorter?
Shorter University.
Shorter University. Yes, I had to look it up. It's
is there taller? Is there longer? Is there quicker? Is there faster?
Well, I'm sure that they usually what happens, I suppose, is when you have shorter, then there must be a school called Shortest. I mean, I don't know what to make of this. So,
or just short.
And, no, yeah,
shorter. Shortest.
It's like ordering a Starbucks. You know, they're going to play Grande next week,
or Venti.
Yeah, would be the next. Trenta would be probably somewhere on the list. Anyway, no line on this game, obviously.
Yeah.
So Kennesaw will easily win there. Nichols plays Kendrick Lamar this weekend. Nichols is a 22-point favorite. I don't see much trouble for Nichols and boy Julian Gums.
Yeah, and DeJounte Dixon, or the heck his name is.
Lamar, not a very good team, not expected to do much in the league. A couple of Southern Conferences. The SoCon, by the way, turned 100 years old the other day.
Woo-hoo! Oh, God.
An old-time Southern football. Okay. Being played there. Furman.
Our good schools left a long time ago.
Furman with a 10, ranked number 10. 21-point favorites over VMI. So the military academy, not likely to perform well here. Sagarin thinks it's about the same number. Wofford and the triple option fury that it is. Number 11 in the country. They've got an interesting tilt with Tennessee Chattanooga.
Terrell Owens University.
Wofford 2.5-point favorites in that one. Our boys from Eastern Washington are good friends, the Eagles, who rumored to be coming to U.S. Bank Stadium to play the Bison here in a few years. Slight hiccup in their plans this week as Aaron Best, the head coach, has tested positive for COVID.
Oh,
so he's got the Rona and he'll be out this week. But I don't think that'll be too much trouble in beating Idaho.
At
the Kibble Dome.
At the Kibby Dome. Okay, that'll be kind of a
Kibby. It's Kibby Dome,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Kibby Dome.
Not Kibble?
Kibby. The giant speed bump that stadium is. The
giant speed bump. 5.5-point favorites Eastern Washington in this one. Again, haven't seen them play yet. Don't quite know what to make of them. But that Sagarin thinks they'll win by 10. I wouldn't see any reason to disagree with that. Interesting matchup with so much trouble in the OVC. Tennessee Tech at number 23, who beat Austin Peay last week, which was an upset. 27-21, they won that one. They get to play the Z's in Jacksonville State.
Yeah, the Z's.
Jacksonville, a 13.5-point favorite. Be huge for Tennessee Tech if they get this win. That gives them the inside track to win the conference title.
Right.
Jacksonville... pretty good, but that's a lot of points to give up.
Exactly. It's a lot of points. And Jacksonville State, I don't know how to feel about Jacksonville State. Because they had that one good year 6 years ago now, was it? That seems like a long time ago now. But
yeah,
and then they got their ass kicked, and they've kind of declined from there. Jacksonville State's such an up-in-the-air team to me. Because they spit out, they're like a revolving door. They spit out one good season every couple years. Where it's like, man, you got to look out for Jacksonville State. And there's like, they're
fine. No, I don't. No.
Not in this game.
Well, I mean, but they're 2 touchdown favorites, so they should win.
But you never know.
Game of the week in the Southland. Number 17, Slapnut Sisters of the Poor.
Sam Houston State.
Hosting Southeastern Louisiana.
That probably decides the conference.
Probably. And Southeastern going on the road to Sammy. Of course... Sammy's defense, much improved, or so they say.
Big air quotes around that.
I was really actually impressed with how Southeastern slung it around last year. I'm not sure they could stop
cold in Alaska.
No, I don't think there's any way that they can slow anybody down, but they're sure going to make it fun to watch. I mean, this could be one of these, again, 49-45.
54-48 overtime kind of game.
Last team to have the ball wins.
Yep.
I
like Marino and Bledsoe.
I hate Sammy, but I'm almost inclined to pick him at home.
Yeah, I would too.
I think they're probably the better team.
Yep.
So I'm going to take them. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if Southeastern wins this game.
But, you know, Sammy's much improved defense should be able to stop him, right? So.
Well, the problem is I don't know how much their defense has improved, but I know Southeastern Louisiana's defense sucks. I mean, they got their absolute bell rung last year a few times, and I don't think this will be any different in this situation. Also, worth watching in the Southland Conference this weekend, our good friends.
Oh my God! This is Surfing Bird by the Trashmen.
Anyway, the word
that didn't really go with it, though.
No, I tried, but bird is the word.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
so I was going for it. Bird is the word. Okay. Besides, any excuse to play that was funny.
Okay.
Incarnate Word goes to number 19 McNeese. McNeese an 11-point favorite. I think the word has kind of peaked. I mean,
they peaked last year,
and everybody knows
2 years ago.
Everybody knows that no one takes them seriously in football anyway, which is why all these teams, all these 93 teams are leaving the conference in the Southland behind to be some piss-poor league. But don't think McNeese is going to have a problem beating them. But,
nope.
11-point favorites. SEMO at number 21 playing Eastern Illinois Tony Romo University.
Or Jimmy Garoppolo University, depending on which one you want.
Well, I suppose you could do both, right?
You could.
Isn't that where Romo went? Eastern Illinois, yeah. Right?
The Romo, it's the
Romo Garoppolo.
Mike Garoppolo.
So SEMO, a 13.5-point favorite when they're the new kids on the block, Tarleton State. They get to play Dixie State.
Another forward D2.
So. Right. So that'll be boring and Elon getting ready for their double ass kicking from James Madison here. They get Gardner Webb, yeah. Which apparently is, again, let's go hyphen. Gardner Webb, they're an 18-point favorite in that game. So, again, a lot of teams still idle and getting going. Jackson State has apparently been canceled due to COVID. Is that right?
Against Jerry Rice University and Mississippi Valley State.
Because Mississippi Valley State. Apparently Jerry Rice didn't donate enough to keep the Rona out.
Didn't donate enough.
So that's...
By the way, how much money do you think he's donated to that school? I mean, seriously.
Whatever it is in Itabena, Mississippi isn't enough because that thing's a shithole. I mean, honestly, don't you think they would name the entire, like, Jerry Rice University and just forget about the...
Yeah.
They do have the cool mascot, the Delta Devil.
That's a pretty sweet nickname, though. I will give them that. That's pretty good.
You can't argue with a Delta Devil.
Yeah.
One thing we know that a Delta Devil does not do is stop the run very well, because I think the Bison literally ran for like 9 million yards against them. I mean, it was like 73. That was the worst ass-kicking I've seen NDSU give anybody.
72-7.
I mean, it isn't quite the Bison versus Morehead State like ass-kicking from many years ago, which was the greatest devastation of a football program I've ever seen on the field. I shit you not. Ask the guys who played in that game sometime.
Against Mississippi Valley
State? No, they played against Morehead State.
Oh, okay.
It was the ultimate of all ass-kickings. and honestly, it could have been worse.
What was the score?
It was 80-0. It literally was the worst football game I've ever seen played by a Fargo Dome opponent. And
they suck.
It was horrid. And it's so bad they don't even have the stats in here anymore from the game.
Oh, God.
But yeah, 80-0. And NDSU absolutely steamrolling. That was the year the Bison went to the Division II semis. And the last really, really great D2, you know, squad that they had.
Yeah.
And
what year was this again?
This was 2000.
Oh.
And Morehead State came in and absolutely the Bison literally had to, they were sending guys at the punter and they would make them just stand up when they got, because they could have blocked every single punt in that game. Literally every single punt.
They could have broken the wall every time.
Yeah, and to have them stop at 80 was a blessing.
So they could have scored 100, is that what you're saying?
Right, well, see, the year before they'd beaten them 71-20.
Oh.
And the Bison players, they were pissed.
Because they gave up
20. They gave up 20 to the Morehead. Like, no. So they went out and absolutely put the wood to them the next year and just kicked their ass. So,
kick their ass is an understatement.
So 71-20 and 80-0. Those were the worst two games I've ever seen it in person.
I saw the 72-7 game.
Missouri Valley or Mississippi Valley State. That's probably in the D1 era. One of the worst teams to ever come in.
Prairie View A&M was another one that was 66-7. That one.
That was bad too.
That wasn't good.
I'm trying to think in the D1 era, and I'm just doing a quick look here as we.
Well,
they
beat Illinois 65-17.
But I'm just thinking of non-con because you can't do anything about conference opponents.
Well, 65-17. I mean, that's.
But I'm just trying to look at this list and say. Who is the worst team that's come into the Dome in this era? And
not
you know, they've beaten Mississippi Valley State a couple of times. You know, they beat them 45-0 one year.
Only 45?
It was only they held up. Huh. Well, that was that was in 06.
Huh.
And you know, there have been some other bad teams that have come in here, but I'm not sure there have been any that have been that much worse than Mississippi Valley State. Just thinking, might not be the case. So that's the weekend that's coming up in FCS football. We hope that you know we have a pretty good ball game or two. But yeah, I'm going to be keeping my eyes most definitely on that South Dakota State UND game while the Bison game is going on. Nice thing about these Ohio Valley games too is they're going to be mostly playing on Sundays, so we'll probably get a chance to see a couple of these teams.
Why on Sundays?
Well, I mean, there's no TV competition for it at the moment. Which makes
what,
sense.
What, they can't put on Pluto TV or.
On shit you don't want. No, it's on Flow TV now. Oh, that's Flo. The JMU has Flow TV. So I don't. Trust me. Between Flow and Pluto and 11 Sports.
And
when they're not running, you know.
NBC Sports Chicago for Illinois State, you know, or Midco. Or,
the thing I love about 11 Sports is like half the time I turn it on there and they're running some like billiards match from 2006.
You'll watch it.
And yeah, of course I'll watch it, but it's because you know I have nothing else going on. So I'll always watch the game, but it's kind of entertaining. Let's get to some entertaining stuff on the hoop side of things. And yes, there will be games this weekend.
Yay!
Much to the relief of the Bison fan base, it's going to be Summit League Mania. So here we go. Into the final weekend. Much to be decided.
Yeah.
Right? Let's take a quick recap of where we are in the standings. And if the season ended today,
and it doesn't,
here's where we'd be at. South Dakota, 10-3, leads the league.
Don't deserve it, but okay.
Don't deserve it, according to Grant.
No, they don't.
The Bison are 10-4. South Dakota State, 7-3. ORU is in the 4th spot now at 8-5. UMKC, and they're
please, hitting. Please let that happen for a first-round matchup. Please.
They're the 5th seed. UND, their season is done. They are 500. They are 8-8, and they have no more games left.
Woohoo!
So they are done.
That's typical UND, because they split almost every single. They split almost every series except every series. USD.
They got swept once, and swept once.
Yeah.
Other than that, they split every series.
Every series.
Western Illinois is in the 7th spot right now, 5-7. And if you need some motivation to watch some basketball this weekend, Omaha and Denver are going to slug it out for the 8th seed.
Woo-hoo!
Both of them 1-11. Combined 5 wins on the year, but they're going at it, baby, tooth and nail, to decide who moves on to get to draw the number 1 seed in the Summit League tournament. Omaha, Denver, mark it down. You can't wait to see it. I know you can't all wait to see it. Bison, to me, the objective here is to get the 2 spot.
Yep.
And in order to get the 1 seed, they have to sweep.
They ain't.
And I'm not sure they can go in and beat the very finely dressed Todd Lee and his group.
Yeah, very nice hair, by the way.
Yes, yeah, I do respect the hair. But the Bison, likely to me, are going to wind up 11-5. And
yeah.
That should be good enough. But the problem here is that South Dakota State, if they win both their games, they go to 9-3, and that might be enough to lock up second. Because, again, we're going on winning percentages here. It has nothing to do now with wins. It's winning percentage. Okay?
Okay.
And that's the struggle we have
and who,
here.
And who do they play this weekend?
And they play UMKC. So if South Dakota wins both their games, they will be 9-3, and that's a 750 winning percentage. But if they split and they go 8-4, then they go down to a 666 winning percentage. And if for some miracle UMKC were to sweep them, which ain't happening,
yeah,
it'd be 583. So what do the Bison have to do in that scenario then? They're going to have hope that Missouri-Kansas City gets one game.
Mm-hmm.
They need UMKC to get one. Okay. If the Bison drop, if the Bison get a split this weekend, I know this is math on the air, so hang with me.
Barry, you're doing it than me, so.
It's, if the Bison can get a split and South Dakota State gets a split, the Bison will lock up second. Okay? One win by USD and the conference is theirs. Mm-hmm. They have to get one of two. The Bison are going to have to get to find a way. If they sweep, of course, they will be the one seed and all questions are out, off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But if they get swept or they split, that depends. Then it's going to depend on what South Dakota State does. There's no way ORU gets above them into that section of the bracket. So the Bison are playing for the right to have a first night break or for a break on the first night.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I don't know if that's as big a deal this year because teams have been playing back to backs all year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, Grant. I just don't see them going into USD and sweeping them.
I don't either. And as much as I really want them to, so if they split, just so I get, just so I understand this,
who splits?
If NDSU splits,
yep,
they're the two. Unless UMK,
a split may not be good enough.
Jesus. Okay.
They will have to find a way for South Dakota State to lose a game,
which they won't because it's the Jacks.
Well, but this is a different Jacks team.
No, it's not.
UMKC is going to give them fits.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But you know, because
you arguably have the. Again, I don't know, but I haven't looked at the stats, and I'll break it down further when we get to that point. But you have probably the most talented top to bottom roster in the league in SDSU, and they are going to go into the meat grinder against the Kansas City team that absolutely. plays like shit. It's a rock fight.
45-43.
Yeah, man. It's those types of games. And I'm not sure that South Dakota State mentally may not be ready to play that kind of game two nights in a row.
Yeah, but it's...
Playing them two nights in a row is equally as frustrating because the Bison on that Friday night barely survived and won. And UMKC didn't even have their top three scorers and beat them the next night.
But the Bison are a pretty young team still.
And as we saw the other night, when they make mistakes, I mean,
it snowballs.
They played against that press and couldn't handle it.
That's partially them. That's partially coaching.
Wonder if you'll see that this weekend from USD.
Oh, you will.
You think so?
It's Todd Lee. He's very nicely dressed. He's gonna find somebody to screw with.
I feel like we're not giving Todd Lee enough credit for how good a coach he is. We make fun of his hair. And
no, we're
like,
no, we're praising his hair. It's great hair.
It's a fantastic look.
I don't know if it's as good as yours, but it's...
Nobody's got hair as good as mine. that much is a given. But team that you would like to avoid in the first round the most, if you're the Bison, so you're gonna get.
Right, that's a tough one.
You are going to get let's say you get the three, worst case scenario, okay? That right now would put you up against UND.
Good.
Okay with that matchup.
Oh,
I am
perfectly okay with that matchup.
But I would rather have the two seed and get Western Illinois, who is god-awful.
Yeah. God-awful is an understatement.
And I would love to see the Bison get the two and have a chance to play Western Illinois. I'm scared of ORU. I'm scared of UMKC in a one-game setting. And UND will definitely...
But with UND, do you get them on the good day or the bad day for them? Because the bad day is they get their ass kicked.
The bad day was last year in the Summer League tournament when it was like...
They lost by 36 points in the title game.
When the Bison outscored them, like... I don't know how many of the Bison scored.
I think
about
24-2 at one point
in
that game.
It was unreal. Like, we just sat there like, oh, God.
Like, everything's going in.
Yeah. They couldn't miss.
No.
And...
Nothing Marlon Stewart could do that night.
And I don't want to play ORU because Amos can...
can make him about 45 feet out. So yeah. that's
Once he drives into Sioux Falls, he will be in 3-point
range. He's in range.
That's the way it's going to be.
Or it's a fly-in, probably. Cause
I suppose they will.
You know they ain't driving that.
But, again, just for those that don't know, so it's Omaha-Denver for the weekend set, two games. UMKC and South Dakota State for two games. Meaningless series between Western Illinois and Oral Roberts. ORU isn't going... Unless Oral Roberts completely falls apart, they are going to be the 4 seed.
Mm-hmm.
UMKC with a split might still be able to climb... Or with a sweep would be able to climb to the 5 line, but that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And Bison, don't forget, this weekend are a Saturday Sunday affair. So and actually this works out rather nicely for Bison fans, because football is noon on Saturday, and then the basketball game is right after that against USD. So it's an all Bison Saturday for all of us around here. And then Sunday, the league title will be decided on Sunday between NDSU and South Dakota. I'm not sure, though. That, I guess at that point, that game could mean nothing.
Yeah, it could. Or it could mean everything.
It could be a meaningless game, but we will know, because the Bison play Saturday afternoon. And UMKC and South Dakota State play Friday night for their first game. So we'll know going into Saturday's game for NDSU what exactly they have to do.
Yeah,
they will know.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm they will know. And I would expect Richmond to coach accordingly.
Yeah. So Richmond's going to be like, we've been here before. We sweep. We're the conference champs.
Yep.
Did I got to say there?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going somewhere else.
No, I was not.
Okay. So, primo weekend to watch that. We'll be obviously looking forward to all of that action when the Summit League tournament just about to get underway. And that's always, of course, the best time of the year. We should mention, too, the Bison women. Don't want to forget about how good a season they're having.
What seed are they?
Well, right now, if the season ended today, and it doesn't, they would be the three. And that's probably what they're going to wind up.
That's unbelievable.
Because they have to go and play again, South Dakota.
Oh, God.
So it's very possible that NDSU could lose their last four in the league. Now, what's saving them, however, is that even with a 9-7 finish, UMKC, of course, has to go play South Dakota State. And it was the four. And right now the seeds would be one, South Dakota State 1, South Dakota 2, NDSU 3. Stop me if you've heard this before. UMKC 4, Western's 5, Denver 6, ORU 7, Omaha 8. The stinking Fighting Squawks are already out.
They suck.
So we will see what happens on that front. But my biggest worry about the women is just that they don't get their confidence shaken, because they're probably going to lose four.
No, but that's a major accomplishment, though, at least to finish. I know everyone else sucks in the Summit League, but from where the Bison were last year, that's pretty damn impressive.
Right.
To get through the Summit League and be only third to the South Dakota schools. In women's basketball, that's pretty impressive.
Right, I agree. So the women's team is going to be, they're going to be in the Summit. They're going to be the three seed. And that will probably mean a first-round date at this point with Denver or Oral Roberts.
Oh, Denver again?
That might be. But most importantly, it probably gets you this is almost, to me, it's a Summit League semifinal preview, because South Dakota State's going to win the league. And South Dakota is going to finish second. So the Bison, if they want to get into the final, are going to have to beat South Dakota, and they'll get two shots at them this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
With they know that the meaningful third one probably to come if they can win an NCAA tournament game.
Mm-hmm.
Or excuse me, a Summit League tournament. Yeah. Winning an NCAA tournament game, that we're going to have to put that one on the back burner there. Slow your roll, Mark. I don't think that's going to be happening. So let's close out with a little more basketball conversation.
Let's do that.
We're going to talk a little bit about our NBA All-Star rosters. The starters were announced last week. The reserves have been announced now. So let me run through the teams. And again, the way they're doing this is they're doing the Team LeBron versus Team Durant.
Yes, we know. We all know.
Well, people don't know. Yes. I didn't know until I read it.
Are you kidding me? They've done this for 5 years
now? No, but they're going to make these picks in, what, a week?
Yeah, they've done this for 3 years now.
So the starters right now that we know of, Durant, Giannis, Bradley Beal, Joel Embiid, and Kyrie. So the reserves are Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah.
James Harden. This is the Eastern
reserve. James Harden?
Jimmy Harden. Zach LaVine makes his first All-Star game, right?
Yeah.
Julius Randle, Ben Simmons, who still can't shoot, Jason Tatum, and what is it, Nikola Vucevic?
Nikola Vucevic,
yes, okay. By the way, how did two players on a Boston team that's completely underachieved, how are they both on the All-Star roster?
Because it's Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Honestly, they suck, dude.
They're good, though.
Western Conference, LeBron, Curry, Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic.
If this was the regular All-Star game, the West would kick ass.
Kawhi, yeah.
And then, the West would kick ass. They would.
Reserves, Anthony Davis is not going to play, so Devin Booker.
Yay, finally makes an All-Star team.
Oh, seriously. Paul George, Rudy Corona Boy Gobert, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, And then Zion makes his first All-Star roster.
How Ja did make an All-Star team
is beyond me. I said Trae Young should have been on this roster.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Does the All-Star... When are they going to announce who plays in the three-point and the slam dunk?
Joe Harris will probably be about to win it, so...
Who's my boy from the Australian dude? Joe Ingles?
Joe Ingles, like,
Good Eye Light.
He's like, he's never in it, though. He never
should be in it.
He never participates.
So who are they going to have in the three-point
contest? If Zach LaVine is not in the dunk contest, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, but he's in the All-Star game. I don't think he... Because they're doing it at halftime of the game, right?
Yeah.
He can't be in the All-Star.
Why not? Why not? Why not?
Well, no, we can't do the All-Star game.
Why not?
Okay.
Kobe wasn't an All-Star. But he stood the dunk contest.
Well, they didn't play the game that night. Not that the... And the game, they're going to use that target quarter scoring.
Yeah, I like that. Something to play for.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's fine.
Glad you like it. So
I do like it.
Yeah. Any other snubs on the All-Star roster?
Not that I can really think of. There's probably some on social media people are pissed about, but...
There's always somebody pissed off on social media.
That's true.
That's the way it goes. Also, I want to give a quick shout-out. Hope that Tiger Woods is recovering from his car accident. Man, do you see the car?
Yeah.
I think, look, I mean...
Beyond totaled, is it?
Yeah, the total is being kind. I think how that thing looked at the end. My goodness, I hope I never get into a car accident like that. But he walked away. He's going to have some leg surgery. And, again... Tough to measure his impact on the game of golf in a setting like this, but let's wish best thoughts and prayers and wishes for Tiger to have a speedy recovery, because that is certainly an accident that I'm sure... Well, he didn't walk away from it, he got carried away from it, but sounds like he's in for another road ahead, which means he's probably not going to be Augusta in any of the majors this year. Believe it or not, we're 2 months away from the Masters again.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like we just had it. Oh, wait, we did.
We did.
And then... Also coming up, you know, we're in the thick of NASCAR and we're getting into some other stuff, but we're only, 3 weeks from Selection Sunday?
Yep.
Less than 3 weeks now?
Mm-hmm.
And we, I don't know about you, but I've hardly watched any college basketball that isn't, you know, Summit League related.
I watch the tournament. I watch maybe some conference championship stuff, but I don't watch college basketball stuff. Watch college basketball unless it's the Bison, and I really don't care.
It's, I mean, I'm going to go into this... You know, of course, I will break down the numbers and my Sagarin ratings and everything else, and I will probably still have a pretty decent-looking bracket at the end of the day. But, man alive, I don't know what to expect. Baylor, Gonzaga.
Michigan.
Apparently, Michigan-Ohio State's a bigger deal in basketball.
They killed Iowa the other night, so.
They were playing tonight, too. I didn't see how that came out. But, I don't know. I guess I look at the basketball landscape right now in top 25, and I'm like, well, apparently Ohio State and Michigan State is going down to the wire tonight. Gonzaga, Michigan beat Iowa tonight by 22. That must mean they're pretty good. A lot of power in the Big Ten this year. Michigan's 3, Ohio State's 4, Illinois's 5. Well, that's kind of a murderer's row right there.
Again, one of those teams is going to beat Gonzaga. Swear to God.
So the top 25, by the way, no idea that Alabama was that good in basketball. They're 6th.
They are now.
OU is 7th. Villanova. So that's pretty unbelievable. There are 4 Big Ten teams in the top 10.
Yep.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
That is pretty impressive.
It is.
I did not realize that. Gonzaga, number 1 at 22-0.
Playing nobody, beating nobody, as usual.
Wow. I'm going to have to look at this again, because I didn't realize that Big Ten tournament's going to be something. There's going to be a top... If this is the case, so you got 3, 4, 5, and 9... God, I mean, no wonder the Gophers can't beat anybody. But
they suck.
That's going to be rough, man, when you're trying to get through that. Suck. Coaches' poll is the same. Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State. Yeah, Houston's apparently pretty good this year. Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
I see that Virginia is still hanging around doing their thing. And interesting to see what this NCAA tournament looks like, just from a logistical standpoint. You know, the other thing I found out, too, and I know this has probably been out there for a while, but they're not going to start the tournament until a Friday. That's bullshit.
Usually starts on Tuesday, right?
They're going to have the first 4 is going to be later, and so the first round games aren't going to start until Friday. And they're going to be like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday is what I heard.
Oh, come on.
You can't have basketball on a Monday. Well, I mean, you could have a national title game on a Monday.
right?
Yeah, you could have your one shining moment. No, can't sing it until next month.
That's just the rule. Just did.
Well, can't do that. That's cheating. You gotta wait till. Of course, I'm gonna have to, you know, drag out the Hoosiers theme. So can't miss having Hoosiers on there anyway. No. So, well, you know what? We're all out of time in February. It's February came and went, and just like that, this is the last Friday, or coming up tomorrow is the last Friday in February, and I don't know where all the time went, but again, it is the shortest month.
Gone.
So it's out of here, it's out there, it's up there, it's end of the month there, as Chris Myers would say. So yeah, crazy. Anyway, hey, get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina will always and forever suck. Grant, how do we find
you? Follow me on Instagram and Snapchat @grantlegend1. Follow me on TikTok @grantlegend. Follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. @legend_loudmouth_pod. Give us, if you like the show, hate the show, who cares, give us, please subscribe to YouTube channel.
We will break down all the FCS action from the week on Monday. Also, get you ready for the Summit League tournament in basketball. Break down how the weekend came and went, and see if the Bison are going to be in a bye situation, or if they're going to have to play three straight nights. And also, we will take a look back at all the key developments in the weekend that was. And before you know it, it's going to be March. In fact, it will be the next time you hear this show. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I'm the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.